Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, if you would. If God's word required that we play solitaire, we could go home and do that. Each one of us could go home, pull out a deck of cards, and play. You might need to take some time to look up the rules for proper gameplay, but we could each dig on our own schedules right away. If God's word required that we play baseball, well, then we're going to need to coordinate schedules, right? Because we can't go home and play baseball on our own. You might be able to go to a batting cage by yourself or with a friend and work on hitting. But hitting is not baseball. You could find some friends to play catch with and practice your throwing or catching, but that's not baseball. That's just a part of baseball. Baseball requires that we come together and work together because baseball is a team sport. Now, God's word does not require us to play solitaire or baseball, but it does require, in view of God's mercies toward us in Jesus Christ, that we give our lives to God's, to God, singular, as living sacrifices. And that, giving our lives as Christians unto God day by day as living sacrifices, that is both an individual sport and a team sport. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. If verse 1, we need to give our lives to God daily as living sacrifices. And verse 2, if that involves the renewing of our minds so that we think and act differently than the world around us that doesn't have relationship with God, why do I say that this is both an individual and team effort? It's not obvious from verses 1 and 2 that that is so. But as you look at verses 3 and following, verses 3 through 8, the Apostle Paul begins focusing on applying the point of verses 1 and 2 to the reality of how Christians do life together in the church. More specifically, the Apostle Paul is focused on spiritual gifts in the life of the church. Now, I don't want to assume familiarity where there might not be familiarity there. What are spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are abilities and talents graciously given to Christians by God the Holy Spirit to be used for the maturing and benefit of fellow Christians. Spiritual gifts are abilities and talents graciously given to Christians by God the Holy Spirit to be used for the maturing and benefit of fellow Christians. That's what he's tackling in this section. Then in the next section, the Apostle Paul is going to begin dealing with a variety of imperatives. We need to do this and this and this. They can play out at both individual and corporate levels. But first this morning, we look at being living sacrifices in the context of church community, in the context of this church community, in our case, because being living sacrifices for God is a team effort. Look at verse 3 with me. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. He starts off with a very simple instruction. Don't think too highly of yourself. That seems fairly straightforward, right? Don't think too highly of yourself. But why do we need to be told that? Well, because most or all of us have a tendency to think too highly of ourselves, to be too self-focused and to overrate or overestimate ourselves. We're all tainted by pride. It's a pride thing. And at the heart of sin is a dethroning of God and an enthroning of self. We tend to take God away from front and center, away from that elevated position that he should hold in our lives, and we put him a little off center, or we push him off the stage entirely, or we outright vehemently reject him. And instead, we put the attention on self. Now, in context, as Paul is about to expound on spiritual gifts, I think he probably has especially in mind pride related to our spiritual gifting, which is really silly if you think about it. It's as ridiculous as me being prideful about my height or my hair color. Well, I didn't create that. God did. So why would I be proud in comparison to someone else about that? It can show up in spiritual gifts so easily. If you look at Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians, you see that he was dealing with a church that had a lot of goofy stuff going on. And one of those things was they had all these different spiritual gifts in their midst, but some of the folks were overemphasizing and prioritizing the gift of tongues. Like, oh, we've got this gift. This is what you need to be all about. And Paul's like, no. All the gifts matter. And it's not about what you can do. It's about how you serve and benefit the body as a whole. Now, that still happens to this day in some Christian circles, not so much in our context, but it can show up in other ways in our context. It's a bizarre reality, but I've come to see it over and over again. People tend to have this idea that the up in front of people kinds of spiritual gifts are somehow better than the behind the scenes spiritual gifts. That's not the case. If everyone in this church were gifted like me, man, I would not want to come to this church. I wouldn't. We need people in this church who are gifted and active, who have totally different abilities than I do. Ronnie complements my gifting in powerful ways in the running of this church, week to week and day to day. On the other hand, if everyone in this church were gifted like Ronnie, I wouldn't want to come to this church either. Don't say anything about that, Steve. We need the blend of different abilities. This church's health depends on far more than the preaching that I bring Sundays. It depends on Ronnie's administrative service to help keep all the schedules straight, ensure everyone knows what's happening and when. It depends on the deacon and deaconesses doing the various works of help and assistance. It depends on Stephanie's work in helping organize and schedule our missions updates so that we keep focused on the main things of reaching the lost around the world. Most of you see very little of the behind-the-scenes work that happens, but it happens, and it's important, and we would not be as healthy a church as we are without those things. Don't make the mistake of arrogance because you think that you somehow have a more impressive or more worthwhile spiritual gift or opportunity to use your gift. It really doesn't matter in God's kingdom. All of us have a God-given role to play. So don't think too highly of yourself. Instead, make a realistic assessment of yourself and your gifting. Again, back to verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Sober judgment, taking time to reflect, to do it carefully, right? This is not just being carried away. This is saying, stop and think. Give due consideration, a sober self-estimation, especially related to how God has equipped you to serve others with your spiritual giftings. I was pulling out some old photos yesterday, and I discovered a couple of things. One, I needed a haircut far more often than I got them. I have all these pictures of me and I'm just like, oh no, too long. It's all goofy on the side and kind of out of control. The other thing I realized is that while I don't think about it very often, I don't look like I used to. I think of myself as I looked 10, 20, 30 years ago, as having black hair. Now, this isn't going to be a surprise to most of you, but my hair is not so black anymore. I got to see a picture the other day of myself holding baby Ellie, and I discovered I look like a grandpa. I'm not a grandpa, but I'm old enough to be, and I look like I'm old enough to be. I'm mostly gray. And a little time of sober self-reflection would say, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. It's easy to misrepresent ourselves to ourselves. To think that we're more impressive than we are, or to think that we have less to offer than we do. Why do we need some sober reflection on just who we are and how we're gifted? I don't think it's just to avoid the pride issue. It's also so that we can rightly assess, where do I fit in? How has God prepared me to serve within the church? I can preach and teach. I've been gifted by God for that. But put me in charge of leading the musical worship, nobody's coming back next week. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Julie can help lead worship, but you don't want her up here. It's going to be crazy rabbit trails all over the place. And all her family said, yep. Right? We've each got our own place to fit in. Recognize that you have a place by God's grace. And recognize that your giftings are grace from God and not earned. Whatever your specific spiritual gifts might be, those are grace. Those are gifts. They're not earned. Verse 6 in our passage says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. These are spiritual gifts, we call them. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. God says, I want to give you this grace, and I want to give you that grace, and I want to give you this other grace. Different graces, and each of those forms of grace is a different kind of gifting. They're freely given by God without being earned or deserved. And God gives all who trust in Jesus one or more gifts to be used for the benefit and welfare of other Christians. God gives different abilities, different gifts of grace as he sees fit. I like the way that 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 describes it. All these spiritual gifts, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. The Holy Spirit says, I'm going to give this gift to Ashley, but not to Nick. That wouldn't be the right one for Nick. And I'm going to give this one to Nick, but not to Courtney. Because Courtney, I got other plans for her. And so on. When I buy gifts for my children, I don't get them all the same thing, right? Even if it's as simple as, hey, we're going to do family movie night and we're going to get candy for each one, I let them each get their own candy. Because I got this one weird kid that likes stale gummy bears. And nobody else wants to eat that. That's weird. I got other kids that like nerds, and I don't want to eat nerds. That's not my thing, right? And so each one gets their own movie theater box of candy. Or suppose I'm out at a store and I see a skirt or a romper and I think, oh, that would look so good on Caitlin or Jocelyn, or they would love this. I don't think, well, I better get one for William too. Of course not. Different gifts for different kids. So also, your Father in heaven says, I know what you need. And what Brian needs is not what Dennis needs to do the jobs I've called them to. Don't look at your talents and abilities as a source of pride. They're gifts. Gifts are inherently grace. You don't deserve them. You don't merit them. And so there's no basis in our gifting to be prideful. Now, the next thing that we need to understand from this passage is that giving our lives as a living sacrifice involves unity. Look at verses 4 and 5. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, as one body in Christ, individually members of one another. The Apostle Paul gives us a metaphor for how individual Christians should relate to one another. He describes us as being one body. It's like he's describing the human body. He says the church, all the different people who believe, are one body. And there's all these different members. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he gets into more details and he starts describing, like, okay, this Christian might be a nose, or that one might be an eye, or a hand, and so on. And just as the human body is all connected, and you have your nose, and you have your eye, and you have your hand, and sense of touch, sense of smell, all of that works together for you to be able to be and do what you're supposed to do and be. That's God's good design. Nobody wants to lose their vision or their sense of smell or their hand or so on, right? And so we need all the different parts together. And in verses 6, 7, and 8 of our passage this morning, he's going to start getting into the specifics of the various gifts and the role that they each have in the body of Christ. But here's the thing. It's not enough to have all these different giftings represented in the people of God or even represented in the local church. They all need to be working together. Because what happens if one member is doing its own thing that doesn't make any sense and isn't helpful? It's distracting at best, right? It's weird. It's like, what is that thing going on that doesn't fit in? We need all the parts of the body working together the way God designed. By God's design, Christians are interdependent. If you didn't have that, it'd be chaos. You'd have parts just doing crazy things that make no sense. And yes, my arm was doing that on purpose. Hopefully you caught the object lesson. Verse 5 tells us, we, Christians, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. In greater detail, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 21 and 22 tells us, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. You, Christian, cannot say that you don't need the things that the other Christians around you have to contribute to the life of this church and to your life in particular. You can't. And whichever parts you might think, oh, that's not as big a deal for the good of the church, realize that God's word says they are indispensable. Maybe that's your part. Your part is indispensable to the welfare and health of this church. And if you think otherwise, you're saying God's wrong. You got to reshape the way that you think. You need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind and say, we need all the Christians being the specific Christians that God has wired them to be with their particular gifts and abilities. By God's design, Christians have varied responsibilities within the church. Now, I don't mean primarily positions and offices. I mean things to do in the work of ministry based on how God has wired them. Verse 4, as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. Don't try to do what I do if God hasn't gifted you as he's gifted me. Don't try to do what Nick does if God hasn't gifted you the way he's gifted Nick, and so on. How dysfunctional would this church be if we showed up on Sunday morning and there's 53 people saying, oh, I'm giving the sermon today. Or nobody willing to go work with the children. It would be chaos and dysfunction. Rather, all together, working together, we can be who Christ is calling us to be. Each individual has this or that gifting, not the same as the next person, and yet we're all connected and interdependent. By God's design, every one of us, we must embrace unity, not uniformity. Unity, not uniformity. Togetherness without sameness. That's really important for us to be who God's calling us to be. You don't need to be the same as the next guy, but we all need to be in this together. You need Christians in your life who are not exactly like you, which can be really hard. Who do you tend to gravitate toward? Oftentimes, it's people who have the same interests as you do. Oftentimes, it's people that you have a lot in common with. Oh, they think the way I think. They like the same music. They like the same hobbies. They like the same this, that, and the other. Well, that's fine to a point, but you need people who are different than you as well. Unity without uniformity. Years ago, we were out in New England visiting family, and we took our kids to visit the Ethan Allen Homestead. It's the homestead where the Revolutionary War patriot and hero Ethan Allen grew up. And we got to see, you know, where he lived and what the house was like and see what life was like in that frontier colonial era. And we learned about something called the Three Sisters. Some of you may have heard of this. This is a way of farming developed by the native peoples of the Americas, where they would grow three different crops together. They called them the Three Sisters. It was corn, squash, and beans. And they would plant them in groupings together because they worked together in a way that accomplished things that you couldn't have otherwise. It was a really neat system. The corn provided a trellis for the beans to climb up. The beans add nitrogen to the soil, and the squash suppressed weeds and its large leaves conserved moisture in the soil. Plus, what each plant was using up from the soil, the other plants were putting back. And so it was this contained system that they complemented each other just right. And so all three plants would thrive in a way that wouldn't happen if you took away any one of them. Fellas, we need to be the Three Sisters. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be the Three Sisters working together so that all of us can be and thrive as God has intended us to be and to thrive. Now, all of that sounds great in theory, but it does no good if we don't put it into practice. Look at verse 6. He says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Having something and not using it is crazy. What good is a hammock if you never string it up and lay down in it? What good is it to have a motorcycle or a car that never leaves the garage? What good is food that you never eat? Christian brothers and sisters, God gave you your abilities, your spiritual gifts, for you to use them. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. If the one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. He's giving us this sampling of spiritual gifts. And we know that it's a sampling only. It's not comprehensive, because if you look at 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4, we know that there are other spiritual gifts listed there. Personally, I'm not convinced that the scripture gives us an exhaustive list of spiritual gifts, even if you combine those passages. I think the point is, whatever your gifting is. But here, in Romans 12, Paul is not trying to give us a comprehensive bit of these are all the gifts and this is how you use them. Rather, his point is, use them. Whatever you've got, whatever ability you've got, use it appropriately. God has given many gifts and many ways for us to serve. So let me ask you this question. How has God prepared you personally to be able to serve in this congregation? Notice I asked how, not if. I'm not asking if God has prepared you or gifted you or called you to service. He has. I know that scripturally. Every single believer in this room has been gifted and called by God to serve in the life of the ministry of this church. So after that sober self-assessment that we talked about before, honestly, how can you serve your fellow brothers and sisters in this church? Now, some of you might be thinking, I'm too young. You're not too young. Children and youth in this room to serve. There are ways for you to serve right now at your current age. And some of you might be thinking, I did that for years. I'm retired now. Nope. You don't retire from ministry. You might shift to a different area of ministry, but you don't retire from ministry. Not one of you is too old for serving in the body of Christ. Maybe you're thinking, I don't really know where I fit. Maybe you can think through your abilities and say, well, I can kind of do some of this or I can kind of do some of that, but I don't know where that fits. Well, that's okay. Come talk to me. Come talk to one of the elders. We'll help you figure it out. We'll do some talking back and forth and figure out some options. And some of it might be a little trial and error. You try out this and you find that's not the fit I thought it might be. You try out something else, and you're like, man, I never would have thought that fits me, but that totally works. I love serving in that way. What I don't want you to do is say, nothing. There's no place where I can serve, no place where I can benefit others, because that's not true. And the other thing I don't want you to do is just ignore the issue and move on and forget about it. God calls you to serve. I don't call you to serve. God's word tells us that God is calling all Christians to serve. So embrace and use your God-given gifts according to God's good design. Use it willingly. Use it gladly. I like the way in verses 6 through 8, he's calling through the sampling, like, use it in a way that makes sense. If you have the gift of teaching, then teach, right? If you have the gift of giving, do it generously. Do it cheerfully. Imagine if Mother's Day is coming up, and a kid says, well, I need to do something for Mom for Mother's Day. They think, you know, Mom loves coffee. I'm going to go get Mom a Starbucks gift certificate. Mom opens the card, finds the certificate in there, and there's a little note saying, this is a $5 gift card. It's the smallest card they had, and I only wanted to give you $2.32 worth of coffee, so I'll expect some change. Oh, that doesn't work, does it? That's not giving cheerfully. That is not a cheerful giver. We need to not simply do it grudgingly. Well, I have to serve somewhere. No. No Eeyores with spiritual gifts. Probably dating myself with that one. Cheerfully. Let's embrace it. This is a good thing. God is not calling you to do something that's terrible. He's calling you to do something that's good. What are we saying this morning? His glory is our good. When we live the way he's calling us to live in a God-centered way, we're going to thrive. Imagine if this church all of a sudden picked up a whole bunch of new ministers that could serve this church. How much better would that be for all of us? Oh, wait, we have that. It just happens to be you. Every one of you is called to be a minister in some capacity in the context of this church. Spiritual gifts are given to you for use for the benefit of other Christians. Notice in verses 6 to 8, each of those gifts that he listed, you can't do those by yourself unto yourself. Those are things that involve other people, right? A leader leads others. You show mercy to somebody who's in need of mercy and so on. You don't just do this on your own. 1 Corinthians 12 makes this more explicit, verses 4 through 7. The apostle, same writer, says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, for the group's benefit, right? For the common good. This is not just a good idea. This is God's design. This is his calling. Think about what's going to happen if we don't do this. If we say, no, that's for somebody else, but not for me. It might look something like this. Suppose I give my son William a $10 bill and I say, go give this to your sister. She needs it for a field trip. Go give her this $10 bill. But he says, I kind of like this $10. I want to keep it for myself instead of giving it to her. What would we call that? I think there are two words that come to mind. Theft and disobedience. Theft from his sister and disobedience to his father. Isn't that what we do if we refuse to use the spiritual gifts that we have received for the good of others? We're stealing the benefit from our fellow brothers and sisters that they're supposed to get through us, and we're disobeying our Heavenly Father. Sometimes I benefit from simply calling a spade, instead of making excuses of why I don't need to focus on this or that or the other. Maybe you do too. If we don't serve, we are stealing from our fellow Christian siblings, and we are disobeying our Father. Let's dig into this. We've been given these things for the common good. We say that our mission here at Faith Chapel is for every believer to become, make, mature, and multiply fully surrendered disciples of Jesus Christ. In this moment, I am calling you to be more fully surrendered to Jesus by serving if you are not already serving. I'm calling you to grow up or to mature in your faith, saying, I'm going to go from less service or not serving at all, to being all in serving in the ways that God has gifted me and called me. I'm not saying you need to be involved in every single thing, by no means. But you are called to be involved somewhere in a way that fits the way that God has wired you and gifted you. I want to end where we began, remembering that all this is the overflow of God's mercy to us. God has loved you in Jesus, been gracious to you in Jesus. It's not just his mercy, singular, that verse 1 talks about. It's mercies, plural. There are so many undeserved graces of God that have come your way through Jesus Christ. The only proper response is to live for him, to live unto Jesus as living sacrifices. And part of that is together as a team, or better yet, a family, or better yet, one body. We cannot thrive as a church if we are not united together in love and ministry. So let's do that in light of God's mercy toward us. By God's design, we're better together. Amen? Let's pray. God, help us to not just say amen here on a Sunday morning, but to embrace it from a heart level, to be at the place where we would say, I want to be all in on what God has planned out for me. I believe that God's plan for me and for Faith Chapel and for life together in this specific gathering of Christians is better than what I'm going to do on my own planning, according to my own wisdom. I'm going to be better off in life and in my spiritual life if I live it out in community than if I try to do it on my own. Help us to embrace being both giving and receiving members of this church family. For your glory and our good, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.